Calvin.
What up?
What do we say every single week?
Oh my God. Oh. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Amazing. That's pretty much it. Call in, write in. Yeah. Follow us on social media at Christian Kid Pod. We're building up a little following on that Instagram and that Twitter.
We have 200 whole people.
Yes, it's amazing. So we're having fun. We hope you're having fun. And yeah.
We're excited about this one.
We're excited about this one. So let's get started.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. We were Christian kids. We were Christian kids. We were Christian kids. No, I mean like really, 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 really Christian.
Hello again, Cal.
Hi.
How are you doing? I'm currently in a blizzard.
What blizzard?
In New York City. There is a blizzard in New York City.
When you say blizzard, do you mean like the thing you can get at the Dairy Queen?
No, you silly man. What if I was in a Dairy Queen blizzard?
I think you'd be very upset and very happy all at once because you love desserts.
I love desserts. No, we're having like a snowstorm and like I've heard like 17 inches is expected and we have like a foot on the ground.
So. Right now?
Yeah.
A foot.
Yes, that's been happening. So I like went grocery shopping and with my roommate and prepared for it like we were going underground.
Was it a frenzy at the store?
It was a frenzy at the store. Good question.
Scare you because of COVID?
I hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, not it just was COVID stressful. Either,
but yeah.
I mean, everyone had their masks on because it's New York and people are really pretty good about it. I'm not going to lie. And
we need to come up with a word for people who just don't understand that your nose also produces water droplets, because that seems to be like the other pandemic here in the Midwest, is that people are like, oh, my nose doesn't count.
That's everywhere, honestly.
But not in New York, apparently.
Well, that's true, but you still see it. You still see the people that have the nose hanging out, and they know. They're just.
But we need a name, like a derogatory name.
Maybe right, we'll work on that. I was going to say something. I'm like, not on the record. Calvin, can we say, can I quote you? We need a derogatory name. End quote.
Yeah. And I fully expect to be called it myself if I ever, you know.
Yes.
Am endangering strangers around me. Anyway.
But you wouldn't do that.
I would never.
What are you up to? How are you doing?
I've been drawing lots of pictures. And
write for your book.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
It is Black History Month, which is awesome, even though it really should be Black History Year. It's a nice feeling to be like, okay, all of the social medias will be flooded with beautiful things that Black people have done in America. So that sounds like a fun time. And especially after the last, you know, the last 12 months we've been having. I feel like I'm excited to see what happens. Yeah. And awesome. How have you been besides the blizzard?
Pretty good. Working away at stuff. Mm-hmm. Working on my solo show and you know, just spent a couple days with the boyfriend.
2 days?
Literally 2 days and two nights. It was like our longest stretch together.
How was that?
It was really nice.
Yeah.
I was getting like, I was getting hugged when I needed to be hugged.
Oh, that's so nice.
Oh, I hate that I just said that. Let us move on.
Okay.
Okay. So we are officially moving on.
Okay.
We do have a great episode today. Super excited about our guest. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it all. He is an actor, a singer-songwriter, a life coach. Mm-hmm. We have Brian Falduto today.
Yay.
So let's get started.
Okay.
Shall we?
This is, yeah, we're here because we were Christian kids and that was hard.
It was.
But also beautiful in certain ways. And Yeah, we're glad to have you today.
Thanks. Yes, welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, in looking at all that you do and produce, I was like, we truly have a very interesting person on today. Like, I love the actor, the singer and life coach, and your story with the church seems very interesting. So I'm excited to, you know, hear about your history.
Aw, thanks, Justin. Yeah. Try to keep it interesting. Sometimes it feels a little chaotic, but it is what it is.
In the best way.
Yeah.
What kind of church did you grow up in?
So I actually was raised Protestant, mm-hmm. but I went to Catholic school, so I got a double dosage.
You got both.
I got double, yeah. So my family went to a Protestant church, and that was like my church family, but starting in third grade, I went to Catholic school all the way through college, until I went to college.
And when you say Protestant, what flavor do you mean?
First Reformed church.
I don't know.
First Reformed, do tell.
Yeah.
Is that not like a commonly known? I feel like in a lot of towns in New Jersey, at least, there's a First Reformed church of, and then whatever the name of that town is. So mm-hmm. mine was the First Reformed Church of Lincoln Park.
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't know much about the First Reformed Church.
Okay, well, thank God I'm on the podcast.
No, that's what you're here for. Let us know.
I got a little bit of both because I feel like in Catholic school, they made you go to mass like what felt like every day. So I feel like I was very up on the Catholic side of things as well. What about you guys?
Well, I was mostly Southern Baptist for a while. And then I was like, I want all of it. I just want to make sure that I'm getting, you know, I'm rolling around in all of the beautiful things of Jesus Christ. And so I went to different charismatic churches and non-denominational churches and speaking in tongues and not playing cards all at once.
Amazing.
Yeah. I started non-denominational my whole life. Like, my parents' church was non-denominational, but I've always likened it to, I think the Baptist church is like the closest, although that's not a super educated comparison. I've just always said that. But like just very strict and conservative and literal interpretation of the Bible. And then in high school, I like jutted off into the Assemblies of God. And yeah, I was speaking in tongues and doing all of that stuff. So.
Wait, like actually speaking in tongues?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And Calvin too. You're in the presence of greatness here.
Could I get like a little example of what that sounds like?
I don't know. I get asked that question every time I say it.
Five, and I'm always six, like, seven, eight.
Yeah. We can harmonize, Calvin.
No.
I don't know that much about the Baptist church. I heard it's pretty strict.
Yeah.
But I think it's more socially strict than like I don't know. Like, it's more like social pressures and a lot of unsaid things. And then you just end up doing those things rather than like having justifications for all the things you do. You know, there's a lot of bylaws in the Baptist church.
Isn't that every church?
Well, I don't know. It's just, but I feel like other churches have more fun, you know, like there's more hooping and hollering. The band is a little bit more like, you know, exuberant and they get to like, you know, slay people in the spirit. They don't really do that.
Exactly. They don't do the slaying. That's what I was going to say. They're very like with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a nice friend and that is it. And then there's like no drinking and I guess, you know, some churches are like okay with alcohol. Baptists are not. Wouldn't you say, Calvin?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's stuff like that. But
I don't think that we had alcohol. No, we didn't have alcohol.
Not even at community church.
We had a spaghetti dinner.
Nice.
I mean, I always viewed between the two, I always viewed the Protestant church to be a little less strict than the Catholic church. But I feel like that was mainly just influenced by the fact that we didn't like have necessarily as many things that we had to say every Sunday. Like if you stood up or sat down, it was more just like you got there and you stayed there and you listened. And then also the praise music in the Protestant church was a little more lively than the Catholic church. Mm. And I led music worship every Sunday, all three services with my little golden boy soprano voice.
Wow. Beautiful. In the Protestant church?
In the Protestant church, yeah.
Were you playing the guitar too?
No, I was playing the tambourine and I was backed by a band.
The tambourine?
Yeah.
Can we get a sample of that? Is the question. You actually might have a tambourine, right?
No, I don't. I have a shaker, but I'm not going to. I'm not a performing seal, Justin.
Okay, fair. That is fair.
Oh, man.
So how was it for you? Like, how was your relationship to Christianity in, like, say, for example, your high school years? Was it, like, something that you felt very close to your heart? Or was it something that you were sort of just doing? Or how was that for you?
Yeah, I don't remember when exactly, because I have this beautiful relationship with repression, actually. But I did go through a couple of years where religion was, like, my main squeeze. Very much in an effort to, I think, just, like, be right, right? Or to, like, I figured if I just ran fully in the direction of, like, Bible study and, like, going to, like, volunteering at the church and... basically using religion to look down upon people so that I didn't have to look down upon myself was kind of my mojo for a while. And then I was still pretty religious, like, entering college. And then college was just 4 years of just like, are you sure? And I'm so grateful for those 4 years because I asked myself a lot of, like, questions that, you know, allowed me to take steps I needed to create some space between all the rules and all the rumors and blah blah blah.
How did it start, the kind of peeling away of religion for you? And, like, what was the question? Was it about your identity, or were there other things, like, logically or within apologetics? Like, you know, a lot of intellectual conversations happening in college time, a lot of friends, a lot of influences from other places. Like, was it that? What was the vehicle that kind of, like, helped you peel that apart?
I'm really grateful for that question, actually, because I don't think I've ever answered that or thought about it in that exact way. I was that kid who entered college and I said, I will never smoke weed and I will never have like a drunk. That was me. I don't know how I made any friends, but people don't need to smoke weed and drink to make friends. That's not what I'm preaching. But, you know, I did make friends with people who did these things naturally. And then, you know, these people were nice people. They were people I admired. They were interesting and they had a lot of, like, flavor to them. And I wanted to, you know, get to explore all these different, like, personalities and people. And I felt like some of the I had lived by were just holding me back from some of the freedom that these people seem to be expressing. And at the same time, I feel like all throughout college, I was holding on to all of these, like, no, 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 it has to be this way, it has to be this way. And all these, like, free, expressive individuals were never, like, giving me a hard time about how close-minded my views were. Instead, they were just like, well, this is what it's like over here if you want to, like, come join us. And it was so much more, like, welcoming than I feel like the stuff that I was walking away from, right? Which was like, it has to be done this way or you're doing it wrong. And this was more just like, why don't everyone just, like, express themselves and be themselves? And so I just started to notice that it's a little more gray than it is black and white. And, you know, a lot of these people that I met said they were either atheists or that they grew up in the church and they had a hard time with it. And I remember being like, even in college, I remember being like, well, being gay is a sin. You know, looking back, because as I said, I haven't really thought about that. But looking back, like, my college peers were so patient with me as I said words such as being gay is a sin. And they were like, all right, well, we're going to go to the campus party now. So if you want to come, you're welcome. But if you want to sit here praying, that's great, too.
Did you ever do See You at the Pole?
See You at the Pole?
Do you know what that is?
Is that a pole dancing class?
I wish. It should have been.
I'll do it.
I don't know if that's a regional thing or if that's a national thing, but they basically, like, students from the school and college, I think, happens as well, has a one day of the school year, all the Christian kids go to the flagpole and pray.
Mm. people did that. I don't know if they called it that, but I never did that because in college I did kind of take a step away and I was like, well, let me just see what all these other people got going on. I feel like what I described isn't a very like unusual college experience though for someone who grew up really religious and then, you know, that was kind of my first time away from home. So I broke out of my box a little bit. So
were you like consciously having the thoughts like, I don't know if I believe all the Bible is true, or I don't know if I ascribe to Christianity anymore? Were those thoughts like happening in your mind, or was it sort of like your behavior was changing, but you weren't overthinking it?
I think it was more of the latter, right? There was like that period of time where like I was free on Sunday mornings and there was a church right off campus and I was like, I'm going to go. But then you'd go to the party with your friends Saturday night and then they'd be like, you want to go to the dining hall the next day? And I'd be like, yeah, I'd rather do that than go to church by myself. And so I think it just ended up becoming like a, this isn't so much a priority for me anymore as understanding these and being a part of this community is, you know? So it's, I wanted to just sort of be present with the college experience and like see what it had to offer me. I did go to church sometimes. But yeah, it wasn't really giving me the feeling of safety that it used to give me.
So did you, were your parents or like your family situation, was that a very religious one as well?
Yeah, it was. My dad, not so much. He just like comes to church. But my mom is still very religious to this day. Actually, still dealing with a lot of the same topics, to be honest. My mom loves me and accepts me. And I don't think she believes that being gay is a sin. But she still goes to a church that basically subscribes to that belief. And they just had like an LGBTQ service this past Sunday, yesterday. Where I was like, oh my God, maybe they're gonna like throw the LGBTQ community a bone, but no, they were pretty strict in their stance that it's a sin, and I was like,
so that's what the service was about?
The service actually invited this guy to the service who is gay and basically chooses to remain faithful to the Bible by remaining single and celibate.
My mom tried to give me a book once about a guy who, written by a guy in that same position, called Washed and Waiting. And it was, she was like, I don't know. But, you know, essentially by handing me the book, it's like, how about you stay celibate for the rest of your life? Like, that's a pretty big ask.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a part of me was like, my mom is with me. She's on the same page as me. I released a music video recently for a song called God Loves Me Too. It recently had like its Apple Country debut. It's like rippling out. It's this message about positive love and acceptance for anyone who's in the church who feels like they need to do more than be themselves to earn love and acceptance, right? It's like this message I'm really proud of. My mom catered that music video shoot day. She's like all with me. She's like, I support the cause. She shared the video with like everyone she knows. But I still think people have like certain limitations on their own comfort and discomfort around topics. And my mom's not going to be someone who stands up in the middle of church on that Sunday and is like, actually being gay is not a sin. You know, she has a lot of things that her church does for her that serve her and her walk right now. And I'm kind of trying to make peace with the fact that I can coexist with that. You know, I can coexist with a mom who like totally has my back, but also gets a lot out of this church and the people she goes to church with. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, actually, I was thinking that that's exactly how my sister is. She's always had my back, supported me from day one, and yet she still goes to the same church my parents go to, and it is a conservative church and not LGBTQ affirming. And it's something I've had to balance. I'm like, I know she loves me and she supports me, and yet she goes to this church, and it's like, it feels like sort of living in the gray space, honestly.
Yeah.
From my perspective.
But that's all there is, right? Sometimes I get a little trippy on these things, but I feel like that's all there is gray space. And as soon as we turn black and white, then that's when we turn against each other. And I feel like at the moment, the ask of me is to be able to coexist with my mom, where, you know, she's with me. She's on the same page as me. I think for me to like take something away from her that means something to her feels like a little bit of an extra added ask. You know, she's still sharing my video with everyone who goes to that church, and she doesn't care if they don't like it. She just doesn't, you know, they, I think, I don't know. I'm literally processing this today because, again, it had happened yesterday. So I'm sorry to make that sorry to make that the forefront of our conversation.
No, it's good. We want to talk about things that are happening now.
Yeah.
So the song God Loves Me Too, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah.
The title itself implies some kind of acknowledgement of this higher power. So I'm curious to know, like, what is your relationship with God or the uncreated, or like, you know, would you consider yourself an atheist, or would you be agnostic, or I don't know, where are you at in that journey?
Yeah. So when I write songs, I just tell stories. That's all I feel called to do as a songwriter. So the song is just a story of my experience growing up as a gay man in church and what I've come to believe now. I didn't really realize when I was writing it that I would be making like a statement piece. So it's been really interesting promoting it, because I do get asked that question a lot. Are you still like, are you a Christian? What's your belief system now? I feel more spiritually connected than I've ever felt in my whole life. But no, I do not subscribe to any organized religion at the moment. I have this like relationship with myself these days that feels a little bit like I'm connected to. Okay, the best way I describe it sometimes is, I don't know if you guys felt this, but when you were younger, when you were praying ever, did you ever get like a feeling that you were like, God is real, I can feel it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I get that same feeling when I meditate.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. So I feel like there's this religion of like self, there's this religion of like connectivity to the universe, I'm still putting it into words, you know, but it feels more truthful than any structured thing I've tried to follow.
I think Justin and I are on the same page as that.
I was going to ask, what do y'all subscribe to?
I definitely feel like there were things that happened during my time in the church community that were so powerful and like impactful, emotional healing even. You know, for as much as there was damage that was happening on a pretty regular basis, there was also a lot of healing that happened too. And especially in times of worship and especially in times of music. And I think the processing I'm doing now is, you know, how not to throw out the baby with the bathwater and deny that any of those things had any kind of merit or any kind of positive impact on my life. And but I think the most like warming part of this conversation is to be able to acknowledge that we like, you know, I haven't arrived at anywhere, you know, and I don't think that's the point of living. And I also think that, ironically enough, that maybe Jesus didn't expect or ask or want that either. You know, I feel like there's so much grace space that I'm still trying to explore between, you know, the profound teachings of Jesus himself and everything that the church added on after the fact.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to be a student of faith and of acknowledgement and of putting ourselves into some kind of infinite like context. Like who was this pin drop in the midst of all of this craziness, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like there is no arrival point in all this, as you mentioned. And I feel like that's maybe the fault of a lot of these organized religions, because they sort of preach that they have this answer, you know? And I feel like there really is no, like, answer.
No. Especially given, you know, we've all kind of echoed it. It sounds like we had spiritual experiences within organized Christianity, and we have had spiritual experiences outside of organized Christianity in, like, a variety of other means, right? So there's obviously something bigger than any one thing going on. So to put a cap on it and say this is the only way, just, well, empirically doesn't make sense, I would say, right?
I thought that was really well put, yeah.
Thank you so much.
I have to ask, who were some of your favorite worship leaders, worship bands, worship musicians? Let's get into that little bit of a conversation.
Yeah, so I actually recently performed at the Queer Christian Conference. And
Wait, what is that?
Right, yes, because we both saw that.
It's the Queer Christian Fellowship Conference. It's I think it's the most prominent like gathering for queer Christian like organizations and beliefs, and they do like they highlight a bunch of podcasts, which you guys should get your podcast on it next year. I don't really know how to. I was just performing at it. I don't really know that much about it. I'm so sorry. But I'm like trying to come up with like an intelligent answer.
We understand.
To describe it.
been there once or twice.
But one of the things I said, and I really do believe this because worship music is what I grew up on. It was the first songs I sang in a public setting. It taught me that I love performing. It taught me that I love music. So when I sort of took that step away from the church to do some figuring out of who I was, I also felt like these songs didn't really have like a place for me anymore, like a place with me anymore, and sort of reestablishing meaning with them as I regain my spiritual connection has been really cool. That said, that wasn't your question. The question was, what was your favorite band? And it was, I went to many a Casting Crowns concert.
Yes, Casting Crowns.
What if people prayed? Oh, okay, cool.
Sorry. Yeah.
Did they do Your Love is Extravagant? Wasn't that one of their songs?
Yeah, that's a great one. Mm-hmm, yeah. Also, you know, I love, honestly, I didn't discover him until after college, but I love Matthew West. Mm-hmm.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Wait, what did Matthew West sing?
What's that? I am the child of what's that song? It goes hello, my name is Regret, or hello, my name is.
I might miss that guy.
I also love like Switchfoot. Uh-huh. I loved Chris Tomlin.
Yes.
How could you not?
I mean, he was like the guy who wrote the book, essentially.
Yeah.
What about David Crowder? You like David Crowder?
I did. I love a lot of like the ones we sang in church, which were just, I don't even know who they were by, but like, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Great song.
Wait, what about Hillsong? Did you get into Hillsong?
No, but I've discovered some of their, one of my roommates was a active Hillsong goer a couple years ago. So I discovered a little bit more about them.
Justin likes to listen to Hillsong still.
I still listen to Hillsong. Like, if I'm like really down, I turn on one of the Hillsong songs and it takes me, it's, you know, it's like medicine.
I love their live version of Shout to the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Which Shout to the Lord? Wait, like the 90s Lord. One.
Right? That's Hillsong. I think I'm actually talking about Hillsong United, but that's a whole other topic.
Are they?
They just have like different songs.
There's like a millennial upgrade version of Hillsong that, like, you know, has all the Hosanna. Fog and the lights.
I just want to sing. That's what's happening there.
Please keep it coming.
I'll stop. I'm the one here who
but
is not
Shout
a
Shout to the Lord is like, that's a bop.
Do you remember when they performed that on American Idol and everyone was like, what's going on?
No, I don't.
They
know
did?
That.
Who did?
Yeah. Like the top seven. It was like their big moment of that episode. They all came out to end the show by singing like this. this seven-part harmony version of Shout to the Lord, and everyone was like, huh.
Isn't that America?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to find that. That sounds awesome.
Same.
I mean, it was very good.
I can see Ruben Studdard doing that with Clay Aiken, but it probably wasn't that season.
No, I think it was whatever season David Cook won.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. That's the same one David Archuleta was on, right?
Yeah, the David versus
very
David.
Very cute.
Yeah, but there's rumors that he's homophobic.
Yeah, he is. Well, he's Mormon, I believe. Not that all Mormons are homophobic, but I think his homophobia does come from his Mormon faith.
And a lot of people who are homophobic are also homosexual.
Well, that is true.
I mean, I'm an Archie fan. I am. I love that Crush song he came out with after Idol.
Yeah. That's great. I'm not going to sing it. I'm done singing.
I was honestly just feeding you things.
Yeah. You're just dropping little...
Complicated by Avril Lavigne.
Why I have to go?
You got him. So college, you're dismantling, you're deconstructing. The days after that, how did you go from that college process into life coaching, and how did you what introduced you to that methodology?
Yeah, so I was distracted by the word methodology. I wasn't expecting such like a beautiful word. And then I have terrible vocabulary. Basically I graduated. Well, no. So senior year of college, I fell in love with this guy. And
you can talk about that a lot if you want to.
A lot?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we love that.
We love that story.
We were both closeted when we fell in love. We came out together. Very massively toxic relationship featuring two individuals who had zero connection to themselves and were just constantly searching for value in the other person. Mm-hmm. So it was a very tumultuous, like, first years out of the closet, because I graduated and I also entered the world, like, in this relationship. He also worked for me as my assistant at my first job.
Just to add another layer.
Yeah. So it was just complicated. And then, you know, I was out of the closet. And then we broke up. And so now I was just out of the closet as this, like, wrecked single gay man who had no internal sense of validation, right? So I spent many years just diving into this scene and just trying to fit into this new identity as a gay man that I've never explored before and that I associated entirely with this relationship. And so I made a lot of, like, I hit rock bottom a lot in those first couple of years, you know, a lot of relationships where I just was constantly going into situations that clearly someone who had self-worth would not go into, and just zero self-acceptance, really, right? Because I still didn't really know who I was. And that just led to a lot of, like, really lonely nights where I was like, why am I always so sad, or why are people always hurting me, or why am I always the victim? And then I just kind of... what happened was I discovered this acting studio, actually. It's called the Anthony Mindel Actor Workshop. And I've been an actor my whole life. I was a child actor. And so I think it makes a lot of sense that this sort of all came to me through acting. But this studio is all about bringing who you are to the work, right? And really all you need to do is, like, bring yourself to a scene, and that will be interesting enough to tell a story, right? And I didn't know who I was, so I was like, who am I supposed to bring to the scene? I just had been constantly, like, looking for myself and other people. And so it was just kind of this, like, eye-opening experience being at the studio and sort of, like, doing the work in a way that uncovered who I was. At the same time, I was also working for a country music radio station, and I was using a lot of... Country music is all about breakup songs, right? And I was going through all these, like, breakups, and I was finding myself in these songs. And so what I did is I started writing my own breakup songs, which kind of led to the path of being a songwriter. And then I discovered, like, self-help books somewhere along in there. And I just – basically it went from those lonely nights of crying and feeling lonely and, like, there was no way out of this constant unhappiness to, oh, wow, there's actually options for creating contentment for oneself. There's actually, like, things you can do to empower yourself. There's things you can do to feel better about yourself. There's things you can do to improve this relationship with yourself, to discover yourself, all these, like, really cool things that are out there that no one told me about. So I was like, I think that was the part that led me to being a life coach. I was like, how did I not know about all this for so long? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I don't want other people out there to not know that happiness is actually something that they're responsible for and that they have power over. So
what are some of your favorite resources, or, like, your favorite, we could probably nerd out about that for an hour.
Like, I'm a big self-help book fan. Granted, yeah. I know that a lot of self-help books are, you have to really take what you want and leave the rest. And I think a lot of people have trouble reading books in that fashion. And then also, I don't think that self-help books are necessarily directed towards the queer community often, you know, we're not mentioned. So I'm actually, one of my new coaching ventures is I've actually started a self-help book club for gay men specifically. Basically what we do is we read self-help books together with a coach, and we basically dive into the topics and we see how it applies to the queer journey and your journey. And so that's one of the places that I find real as a great resource.
Well, what are your favorite books, though?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my bookshelf.
Well, go ahead.
I highly recommend that everyone reads The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem.
Okay. Never heard of that yet. What do you like about it?
I believe that self-esteem is the most fundamental psychological need. And for someone who grew up their entire life without it, it's literally changed the way I see myself, the way I see the world, to just be able to uncover and establish that sense of self-worth, you know?
I need that. I need this, the book and the self-esteem.
Come to book club.
Maybe I will.
I'll just rattle off some others. I love The Four Agreements.
Yes.
Yes, Common sent that to me this summer and had me read it.
Did you like it?
Yes, very much so.
So practical.
Obviously, The Velvet Rage, which is like the gay men's Bible. but that was really fun to read in a gay men's book club because, you know, it's a little dated and, you know, there's a lot of generics in there, right? Which I don't know if you're like me and you're reading a book that's like saying all these blanket statements, you start to be like, wait, do I have that wrong with me? Which like, not everything that's in a book applies to you necessarily, you know? So it's like, I'm currently reading a book called Burnout.
Mm. Okay.
It's basic.
Do we like this one?
Yeah. It's written for like people who help people, which podcasters count. So, and then what else?
Did you ever do The Artist's Way?
No.
Okay. That's fine.
Would you recommend it, Justin?
That's fine. Yeah. We don't have to talk about it.
tell me more.
That's like one of my favorite books of all time, and it's pretty self-helpy, but it basically gave me the ability to start creating, and it's like uncovering your inner artist and looking at all the fears that like can plague you as an artist and the things that will shut you down.
I think our mutual friend Rivka told me about that, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I highly recommend it, truly. So anyway, whatever.
Whatever. Don't.
There's my self-esteem. I gotta read that book. Six Pillars.
I also read. I like the War of Art, which is on the art. You know that one?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I love that.
It's been a while since I read it, but yeah, it's really. I remember it being very good.
Let's read it now to people.
Okay, bring it.
Chapter one.
Grab a cup of tea.
Wouldn't that be really funny if this like turned into like just an audiobook reading? Like, this is the whole intro to an audiobook.
The rest of all of our podcast episodes it's just audiobook. The, yeah.
I would feel so influential.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of StrengthsFinder?
Is that a book?
Yeah, it's like a Gallup StrengthsFinder, and it starts with like a questionnaire test thing. And then it gives you like your top five strengths and it's for more like team building on a professional level. And so you bring your strengths into a situation and you try to pair up, it gives you prompts to pair up with people that you might, that might have the strength that you lack. Right. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, I saw a life coach and I definitely feel like there was a before that and an after that. And so, I love life coaching and like you're talking about, like you just like when you're familiar with the arsenal of tools that are within you intrinsically, and you just work with those and get really good and become like a craftsperson in your own spiritual physique, you know, things become a lot easier. I think it's easier to navigate the world that way.
Yeah, I think. You know, I call myself a mindfulness coach, and basically what mindfulness is being able to take a problem or a situation or a thought or even joy and hold it in your hand and look at it rather than identifying with that situation or thought or problem. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what becomes possible when coaching is all about perspective shifting, right? So I think that that becomes possible. It's really hard to see outside of your own perspective and your own thoughts when you're just trapped in them. So that outside perspective, to establish perspective, is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Do you have a like meditation practice?
I do.
That you do like regularly?
Yeah, so because of one of my jobs, I get a free subscription to Headspace. So I actually just use Headspace. I start with gratitude journaling. I write down three things I'm grateful for. And then I go into this thing I call sentence completion exercises, which is a way to get to your unconscious thoughts. So basically, if there's something I want to bring awareness to, at the moment, I'll just give an example. I'm trying to bring more attention to my fuck it voice, which is my impersonal voice. And so if I were to bring more awareness to my fuck it voice today, and then you fill out the sentence like 10 to 20 times without stopping. And then eventually you'll get past all the surface level thoughts and clutter, and you'll get to like a little bit more of like a truthful or a surprising answer to the question. And you'll kind of discover things about like what it would be like if you drew more consciousness to this area of your life today.
That's fascinating.
And then I go into my meditation, and then I actually do a Buddhist chanting practice.
Can I ask, is it Nam Myoho Renge Kyo?
It is, yes.
I did that for a while. And I didn't even stop for any particular reason. It was just lack of discipline, really. But
I've always done some sort of manifestation ritual after my meditation. So I just kind of view that as that. I know that there's a lot more to it, and I've read up on it. I'm kind of picking and choosing what I want to do as far as Buddhist chanting goes, but it works for me.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
What about y'all?
Oh, I do. I just called Justin. And
he sings to you.
And I life coach him from under the covers on my bed. I journal every morning. That's part of my spiritual practice, which is based in the artist's way, which I've obviously mentioned earlier. And so it's like three full pages, notebook pages of stream of consciousness. Mm-hmm. You're not like crafting a piece in it. You are just writing. I don't use paragraphs, nothing, you know, and I do that for three pages. And then I will usually write some affirmations after that. And then I used to say like some prayers, and I have stopped. I'm really good at like doing things for 6 months really religiously and then just stopping. So that's one of my skills.
I'm very curious about that 6 month mark. My coach in me is...
yeah, exactly. We'll talk later.
Cool. Yeah, I do freestyle journaling too. I'm a bit of a like self-work like addict sometimes. So especially during COVID, when all you're doing is just like ruminating in your own thoughts, I'm like, I'm gonna go put some of these on paper. Mm-hmm. Also just going for a walk for an hour is one of my favorite self-care practices. And then reading. Yeah. What about you, Calvin?
Well, I'm a musician, okay. So I like to play music.
Amazing.
I think I put myself into a lot of situations on purpose to be creative and offer creative input. And I find myself doing like menial tasks as a way to kind of let my mind wander and, give space there. And another thing that I do a lot actually is cook. And I find like that flow state there too.
Yeah.
Chopping onions and stirring soups and washing dishes. But I will say I do not have any kind of like disciplined spiritual practice right now.
That is okay.
Yeah.
It's also, yeah, I feel like, especially because music, I will always subscribe music to have been the thing that like let out the voice in me or like the me that needed to be heard, which historically I feel like over the trajectory of my life will have been the most important thing like needed on this journey, you know, because if I never let that out in the first place, I would have still just been like, I feel like stuck inside all of these like rules and parameters I set up for myself.
Yeah.
So I totally feel that. Also, music allows you that step, which is really important that a lot of people forget about, which is feel your feelings. Mm-hmm. So before all this like self-care and looking at your thoughts and, you know, establishing perspective, you actually have to do the first thing, which is maybe cry or maybe just be upset over the thing that you're upset about and validate that first. And then we go into the mindfulness work. And music is a great way to just sort of like emote, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow, that's beautifully put. I'm not great at the feeling part. I even go to therapy every week and I will be like, this is how I am feeling. But like, I won't like let myself feel it. You know what I mean? Mm. I'm like, I can present it to you on a platter, but yeah, that's it.
You should try going to therapy and not speaking.
That's not a bad idea.
No, and just be like, see if you can like, if you can just like show your emotion. Because what your ego is probably trying to take over, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Because I will like we'll be talking about something and I will want to cry. And I'll be like, nope, not going to cry. I can't cry. I'm not going to cry. So.
You should also do therapy however way you want to do it. And if my suggestion is stupid, just throw it out the window.
No, your suggestion is not stupid at all.
Okay.
I would love to do a silent therapy.
Just sit there.
My therapist would be down. He'd be totally down for it.
I have a strange relationship with Justin's therapist.
Tell me
more. Because we've never met, but I really love that man.
And Calvin will often tell me to do things that my therapist, or like Calvin's words will often be very similar to my therapist's words.
Mm.
Or he'll say something, I'll be like, my therapist said exactly that. So.
I feel you. Yeah, I mean, I love my therapist.
Therapy's great.
It really is.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
Which is kind of backtracking a little. But this is just pure curiosity. When you were singing those worship songs at the Queer People of Faith Festival, or whatever it was called.
Queer Christian Fellowship Conference.
People of Faith. How did you feel? Because Calvin and I just had a little Zoom session the other night where we straight up sang worship songs together for like 30 minutes. And I'm just curious how that experience was.
So I actually did a medley of God Loves Me Too into Pure Imagination, which I know is not a worship song. And then I did it into I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me, into How Great Is Our God by Chris Tomlin. It felt great. I get really emotional whenever I sing God Loves Me Too, because there's just like a personal connection to that. And then I think you just carry that over. You know, I was recently asked as like a check-in question at this event, what's something that gives you instant nostalgia? And I was like, church. Mm-hmm. And I think that these songs do the same thing. It's just like an instant, like, it's a physical reaction in my body. It's like, it's my body feels almost like home, but it also feels a little lost at the same time. I'm getting emotional just like even like explaining the feeling. It feels a little like, I feel like I don't really know how someone would describe nostalgia, but it's almost as if you were somewhere once and then you like aren't there anymore, right? So I feel like that's sort of what happens to my body when there's a worship song going on. It's like this, we're home, but we're not really home.
You're just visiting.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Yeah? You guys feel the same way?
That is how it makes me feel. Yeah.
And kind of living in this present state where we're talking about it a lot, you know, like even we talk about this a lot, just Justin and I, and have over the years, but now having kind of these more public conversations and being very self-aware about the damage that happened in the midst of, you know, those worship songs, and maybe like that, you know, had it not been for those worship songs, we would have left it a lot sooner, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, the no pun intended saving grace of the church experience was music and that like facilitation of encounter with God and like emotional openness on a weekly basis. And so I was playing my guitar and just singing some of these songs that we used to sing all the time. And even holding a guitar, I don't really play much guitar anymore, but even holding a guitar and hearing the way that those chords feel and sound that my friends and peers taught me how to play those songs on this instrument for this purpose, yeah, nostalgic, you know, stepping into that former self and like really like feeling like I'm nose to nose with my 13-year-old person. Mm-hmm. And like, and saying like, I'm sorry and you're welcome at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it, yeah, it's a strange feeling. It's like being numb, or, you know, the tingles from being numb and coming back to life and feeling those same kind of warm feelings in your chest. But then like, yeah, but then having to just like totally dismiss all of the self-hatred and shame that was also present at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, in my music video, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a younger me, and mm-hmm. I kind of do have that moment with my younger me where it's like, I'm sorry and also you are welcome.
Yeah. 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 Hmm. So beautiful.
Yeah.
Where, what church was that? Was that the church that you grew up in, or was it a different one?
No, it was called Christ Church in New York City. Basically, okay. I just bothered them until they let me film there.
Was that the same band that you recorded with, though?
No. That's my current band. The band that I like that backed me up when I was younger was like all middle-aged persons, and they just like backed up this like little kid.
The people who were in the video, were those the people that were in studio with you?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because yeah, they were very good, and I like them.
The church we filmed at was actually the sister church of the church in Hollywood where the song sort of came to be. Because basically, I was in LA for a project and I had the weekends free, but I had never been to LA before, so I didn't have any friends in town. And I was like, that was actually the first time I returned to church because I had my weekends free. And I was like, you know, I've heard about these LGBTQ inclusive churches. Maybe I'll go check one out one Sunday when I'm bored. And I did. And I waltzed into the Hollywood United Methodist Church. And it was just like this beautiful, like unparalleled, like experience of acceptance. You know, the pastor was wearing like an LGBTQ pride stole. There was a pride flag above the window. Every Sunday, I ended up going back every Sunday, and they made it a point to say that LGBTQ persons are welcome there. I saw a gay couple holding hands in the aisle next to me, and I was just like, it was just crazy. I never knew that I would get to experience something like that. Mm-hmm. And I would just go every Sunday, and I would just, speaking of nostalgia, I would just sit in the pew and cry for like an hour. And I think that the pastor probably thought there was something wrong with me. And then one Sunday I went in and I was sitting in my pew crying like I always did. And then I was like, there is a kid out there who doesn't know that this is going to be an option one day. Mm. Like they think that the church and the people surrounding them and the beliefs they have to subscribe to is the only thing out there. And so that's kind of what led me to write this song, because I was like, I actually want to share this story that I found this church where I actually feel like I can be completely who I am. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Wow. Yes, manifestation.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. Like something that you're bringing up is like, you know, how can we be who we needed to when we were younger now? And creating, you know, building those bridges and building the ladders and to make sure that other people who may not have another way, to get to the next level of who they are.
The only thing I said to my mom yesterday, because as I said, I'm trying to just like let her do her thing with her church, right? But the only thing I said to her yesterday is, I was like, there's a kid probably sitting in that church this morning that heard what you heard. And it's going to have a really hard couple of years because of it. Mm-hmm. And so she was, you know, that was like a moment. I was just like, I just want to point that out also, you know?
I have another question. I know that we're probably nearing the end of our time, but I am just very curious about the queer experience in country music. Mm-hmm. And where you see that going and where you see it now. And I'm not super familiar with it, but I know that like there's a very conservative contingent within the country community. And I'm sure that navigating that can be complicated. So I'd love to know more about that.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. There's definitely an issue there. There's not enough there's not enough representation. At the same time, though, there's this huge, like, underground gay country movement, like, happening, and there's so many artists who subscribe to the genre queer country, and it's, like, this thing that's, like, happening, and people are like, we don't care anymore, and there's artists like Kacey Musgraves and Brandi Carlile and Lil Nas X who are taking the more mainstream version of that over, and, I think that for a while, we were, like, hoping that country music, like, the CMA would maybe, like, embrace queer country artists, but they've been too slow to the table, I think, and so we're just creating our own table. And, you know, it's, at the moment, God Loves Me Too just got its radio debut on Apple Country Radio in their Pride radio show, which is honestly just, that sentence alone is crazy. So basically, there is a 2-hour program every Sunday on a major mainstream country music radio station that highlights LGBTQ artists within the genre. And they played a song in which I sing, "It Is True, God Loves You, Even If You're LGBTQ." So that was like crazy, you know, because that's something I never thought would happen. So,
And I mean, surely you're the first to do that in song form. Like, I haven't heard it that explicitly said before.
Well, that was kind of the goal, too, right? Because I'm aware that that's rhyming you and LGBTQ is not the most clever writing in the world. But I was also like, you know, people need to say this. I just need to say it, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to beat around the bush.
I heard recently Uncle Carl... Oh, God.
Uncle Cracker?
No.
It was a country song.
Yeah. Oh, God, I feel horrible for not remembering what it was
Uncle called. Cracker sings country songs.
No.
Uncle, there's a guy, there was something about Uncle, their uncle came out, right?
Yeah, and brought their partner to Christmas, and it was a country song.
I had to check it out.
But it was, you know, but it was kind of, still kind of wrapped. I mean, it was about that, but it wasn't so like, no, this is what we're saying, you know? And so I just think it's beautiful that you just tell them like it is.
Yeah, that was a weird songwriting moment because I was like, I feel like I can be smarter about how I say this, but I was like, actually, maybe the smartest thing I can do is to just say it. So,
Well, thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for coming on our podcast.
Thanks, Justin, for having me. Thank you, Calvin. You guys are fun.
You are fun. Oh, do you have anything you would like to plug that you haven't gotten a chance to talk about?
People should just follow me on Instagram. I'm Brian Falduto, or they could follow The Gay Life Coach, which is more coaching focused, obviously. And I just have a bunch of new coaching programming that I'm rolling out. You know, I have a bunch of one-on-one clients, but I'm getting really excited about the idea of like group options, which is the book club is one of them. I also have this new like Facebook group called the Gay Men's Mindfulness Collective. And I'm always putting new programming ideas in there where you can like learn about things like we're having a workshop on kink coming up and how what if we viewed kink more about who we are rather than what we do, you know, and that kind of conversation, which is being hosted by a fellow coach who goes by Master Joshua. So just like a bunch of fun stuff going on. People should follow me. I really appreciate y'all having me on. And I think,
amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, we will. We I'm excited to keep following you and hopefully having more conversations. I think, you know, one of the things, goals that we had with this podcast is to like find other people who are like-minded and build a community and to build a network, you know, and so that a lot the people who have similar upbringings and whatnot, experiences can find each other and not feel so alone. So thank you for what you're doing, and it's really beautiful.
No, thank you. Yeah, I was wondering how this started and whether like you guys were just in conversation once and you were like, wait, we were Christian kids. Should we start a podcast?
Pretty much.
I'm happy to have learned more about, you know, this. It's great.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, until next time.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye. Have a good night. 1, 2, 3, 4. We were Christian kids. We were Christian kids. We were Christian kids. No, I mean like really, 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 really Christian.